time to play with pain, where sports and inaccuracy collide. Now, here's your host, veteran sportscaster, and the voice of the International Speed Fishing Championships, Jet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today, hilarious writer and comedian who for two decades was Tom Hagen to David Letterman's Vito Corleone, the great Bill Sheft. We're going to do a round of Nasty Nine with Bill in just a sec. But first, time for the Waterhouse Update, sponsored by Handelabra, the world's fanciest doorknob. College football. Fresno State slid past UCLA like your pot guy inching out your DoorDash guy. Gators almost beat Alabama, said Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. See, we're okay. Michigan State, like people kissing Ted Lasso's ass, they just keep coming at you. And Clemson offense scoring less than Tim Allen at the Emmys. That wrap-up sponsored by Jekyll and Hyde and Seek. Okay, scary new twist. NFL, Las Vegas beats Pittsburgh in climate fun and also football. Bears, Andy Dalton goes down, Bill, you'll like this, with what doctors are calling a writing is on the wall knee sprain.
Oh, that's great.
Lamar Jackson beat Patrick Mahomes. Couple other guys on the field, I guess. Tom Brady took time out from building his own personal spacecraft to beat Atlanta. And Arizona, like crime podcasts, they just keep coming at you. That sponsored by Ivermectarine, the delicious way to deworm. America's pastime. No, not cutting your own submarine deal with Australia. Baseball. Dodgers and Giants on each other like ex-wives at the reading of Larry King's will. Golf. Ryder Cup starts this week in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits. You go up to Yodeling Creek, then left over Jew's Harp River. It's in Wisconsin's jug band region. And finally, this week in sports history, the date 1954, the place London, England. The first man to break the 4-minute mile, Roger Bannister, awarded Britain's coveted Silver Pears Trophy, which I'm told is given annually to the British athlete with the best ass. This Waterhouse Update sponsored by Blah Blah Blah, the app that listens to the boring part of the conversation for you. Now, finally, it's talk time. My guest today, hilarious comic and writer, drafted in the ninth round out of Harvard specifically to catch David Letterman's knuckleball, the great Bill Shep. Bill, how are you today?
Wow. And by the way, I don't mean to correct you, but Andy Dalton tore his ACLU. Ouch. That's the injury.
That's where they automatically file a labor grievance. Yeah,
that's correct.
Now, listen, before we get rolling, you spent a tremendous comedian. You started as a stand-up, great writer. Then you spent a ton of years with Letterman, and I'm sure you crossed paths with a legend we lost recently, the great Norm MacDonald. How were your experiences with Norm from across the spectrum of comedy?
Norm and I bonded immediately because we were both degenerate gamblers. I became a former degenerate gambler, and Norm tried. There's a great story that Frank Sebastiano tells about when he was writing for Norm on SNL, and Norm comes in one Monday just chain smoking. And Frank says to Norm, I thought you quit smoking. And Norm says, well, you can thank Mark Brunell for this. And so when I, of all the things that I am proud of in my writing career, I'm very proud of the fact that I helped write Norm's monologue at the 1998 ESPYs, which lives on for delightful inappropriateness and cause the ESPYs to then re-look at themselves, I don't know why, as the Oscars of sports. But back then, we were we aspired to be completely irreverent. And so I helped write. So you hang out with Norm a lot. And I had stopped gambling for a couple of years at that point. And he kind of wanted to stop. And so we were talking about it. And I was trying to explain to him how once you don't bet every day in your about your life gets bigger. And at one point I said to him, like, for instance, you know what I tried like a month ago? And I didn't think I'd like it, but it turns out I love it. And Norm looked at me and said, cock. And that's what you would get when you would hang out with him. He was wonderful man. And it really just one of the all time great comics.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And hard to believe the ESPYs took a hard left.
After yes.
Let's get to the nasty nine. Nine questions, and with any luck at all, nine answers. Question number one, college football, Bill. Are we finally seeing some parity, or are the big boys just too busy right now on Zoom hiring illegal tutors? What's going on?
Let me answer the second part first. Why is Alabama playing Florida in week two? Whatever happened to them opening with Tulane and Carver High? Remember all those years?
Sure, yeah.
Just get it out of the way. Yeah. But I don't think there's a parity. But is this true? Because I haven't watched any college football. Is it true if the game is tied after four quarters, they put a runner on second? I don't know what that's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
That's where we are. Yeah.
They said they actually lengthened the chain to 15 yards in overtime. Why not?
My favorite was when Brent Musburger was working a blowout that wasn't supposed to be a blowout. And around midway through the third quarter, he would always say, What about the job the guys in the chains are doing today? He just had run out of everything.
That's tapped out.
Yeah.
Sponsored incidentally by Wheels on Meals. Meals that are run over and then delivered right to your door.
That's phenomenal.
Question number two. Yeah. Has Jacksonville robbed Urban Meyer of the ability to smile again like it has so many other people? Has he made a mistake getting out of college and going to the pros?
Absolutely, because those guys, I mean, they are college football coaches and college basketball. They're like the mayor, the corrupt mayor of a small town. I mean, it's utter business security. Now, here's the thing. The Big Ten has 14 teams. Is it any wonder why Johnny can't add? It's 14 member schools, two affiliates, and three, if you count Jim Harbaugh's khaki factory.
That's right. Which is up there in Traverse City.
Weren't you a regular on the khaki factory? That was the children's show.
It was that Byron Allen. It spun off of his network. Sponsored by Zoodles, the noodles made from all kinds of animals. Number three, Giants and Dodgers. Is it fair that a second place 102 win team will have to play the baseball equivalent of the third show Saturday at Governor's on Long Island?
One time, I was emceeing. It might have been at Governor's, and whoever was the closing act, it might have been Bobby Collins, went up to me and said, "Have you done shitty seats yet?" And apparently, I was encroaching into his stock room. But if the Dodgers and Giants wind up tied at the end of the season, it's best 2 out of 3 rumbles in the parking lot.
Sure, I mean, why not?
It's the Sharks and Jets. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's not fair. That's the long answer. It's not. Yeah.
Sponsored by Chinchilla, the ice cold shaving cream. Question number four. Ryder Cup, like Leading Men in the 70s cinema, it's European experience versus raw American talent. They have found a way to make this event entertaining and with some charisma and something on the line emotionally. They figured that golf, of all sports, has figured out a way to rev up an event.
Absolutely. Two things. The last time they had a major at Whistling Straits, if you wanted to see red numbers, you had to go to the Shell station down the street. It was a brutal course. And I remember, is it number seven that's the par three? The stimp meter hyperventilated, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. There's a lot of wind. It's the lake effect effect snow that you'll get on hole number seven there. A lot of
my brother, who is coming in from Boston just this weekend, just to watch the Ryder Cup with me.
Wow.
That's how it is. Appointment television. Yeah. Like we haven't seen since the Montefuscos. And for all your listeners over 60, thank you.
Sponsored by Holland Oats. Oats from Holland. Okay. Question number five.
By the way, I have to say, I can't. Yeah. My band, the Truants, we play regularly at a great club called Daryl's House in Pauling, New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's owned by Daryl Hall.
Yeah.
And the last time we were there 2 months ago. Daryl wasn't there, but John Oates was. And I'll never forget, he came up to my guys like about an hour before we went on. And I'll never forget what he said to us. He said, "Hi, I'm John. Let me tell you about the specials tonight." I'll just never forget that. It was a great thing.
So, as an old play-by-play announcer once said, a bright moment in an otherwise strange and misty world. Here's a phrase. Question number five.
I know that.
You know that?
Yes, I know exactly where that's from.
Question number five. Here's a phrase neither of us ever thought we'd hear. Can the WNBA learn something about marketing from the Ryder Cup? The WNBA, at least when you're down to those final four teams, should be more compelling. And it's not. There's something I don't believe it's the game, which is exciting, especially when you're down to the cream of the crop. So what is it that holds the WNBA from a larger audience? They're never going to get as big probably as the NBA, but what is keeping them back?
I can't explain it, because they started off with a lot of wind at their back. They had the NBA behind them. They had the slightly smaller ball, which they didn't tell anybody about. But Dave Letterman and I, my old boss, we used to do a thing in the early days of the internet where after the show, we would do the show recap where we didn't talk about the show. It would always be, it was like a Bob and Ray thing. I would be interviewing him. He would
That's
be someone.
Great.
And so one day I said, we're here today with Bert Montgomery, who is the publicity director for the, was it the Detroit Wheels or whatever?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was the Detroit Wheels, WNBA Detroit Wheels. And tell me, what are your plans for promoting the team for this second season? And he said, well, we have the girls go down about 5 o'clock to the busiest intersection of town and wave at traffic. And that was it. That was the I've always thought that was sort of the WNBA. They didn't widen things because the talent is there, and it's a pretty compelling game. And unlike women's college basketball, there is not this gross disparity between the six best teams and everybody else. So I don't understand it. But you know what? I didn't understand why that women's soccer league that came into being right after the World Cup
in
the early 2000s, they were in the right size stadiums, like 5,000 seats. They had they had one or two players from the U.S. team on every team. So they divided up the talent.
Right.
I thought it was run perfectly, and it went straight into the ground. And that's because, frankly, people refuse to admit that soccer in the United States, as everywhere else in the world, it's a passion. And here it's childcare.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It doesn't fit the rhythm of Americans. I think they need They need a Bill Veeck in the WNBA, somebody to just run a couple of midgets up there or hold the games during the Westminster Kennel Club show. Something. I don't know.
By the way, last year at the Westminster Kennel Club show, I was I won Pete Best in show. A lot of people. Oh. Yeah, I'm very proud of that. Thank you.
Sponsored by Kleptiva, the medication that curbs your appetite to steal. Question number six, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, is he transitioning from great quarterback into DB Cooper's loner son? What's going on with his sort of mindset right now? Everything seems to be overly dramatic, almost Real Housewives style. What's going on with him?
Well, I mean, I would think that he would take it better when he didn't get the Jeopardy job. But that's, to me, this is all a reaction to that. Yeah. It's like, because he's turned into the showcase comic where you walk into the improv and you've got the 2 a.m. spot and the showcase comic says, how'd you get that? You know, he's that guy now. And he's also incredibly jealous of Tom Brady. That's so obvious that he can't, you know, puppeteer his way. By the way, what about Tom Brady's hair? Have you seen that? I mean, I think he picked the wrong stain swatch this year.
Yeah,
it's a brown that does not exist on Earth.
And which is unusual because an awful lot of brown does exist on Earth. That's why they call it an earth tone. He found one that doesn't. How do you do that? Sherman Williams is looking at him going, that's impossible.
Yeah.
It is impressive.
Yeah. It is not a hairpiece. It's a system. It's a system. He's a system quarterback. Don't kid yourself.
Sponsored by Zigzag Zit Cream. Your zits will never see it coming. Serpentine with Zigzag Zit Cream.
Wow. I never saw that coming.
Yeah. Last three questions. The dark horses and down the stretch they come. Question number seven. Give me a dark horse team that could win the World Series. We know the favorites. Sure, the Dodgers, and then you got the Giants, and you know Tampa Bay's looking good. Who do you think could inch their way in there and take it all the way to the trophy?
Well, they keep saying nobody wants to play the Blue Jays, and they have now said that enough times that that's not going to be a factor. But they, you know, I don't think they have enough pitching. I like the Astros because they replaced the trash can with a compactor and they hit it with a bat made from plastics pulled from the ocean. So I like that they
wow. So they're PC.
Yeah.
They're not getting washed out in any hashtag.
That's right. That's right. But I think that I think it's going to be a year for one of the favorites, you know, one of those, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers have, you know, they've had a very strong year, and I think they're going to be battle tested. You know, I'm hoping my Red Sox get to host the play-in. I don't get it with Tampa Bay. Yeah. I just don't get it. And yet they've been so strong, and but the tendency, if you've been winning games,
you know, late, that's why the Spanish left Tampa Bay. They just didn't get it. They were there for a while and they went, it's not working.
That's exactly right. I knew there was a simple explanation. They just didn't get it.
I like Boston. I think they have the excitement and the passion in the locker room to do it, and then that may overcome some pitching ups and downs. But I like them because they stick together through thick and thin, even when they were forced to wear yellow and blue.
It was like a lot of the teams that you and I played against in our softball days, and they were all Al Sunoco Station. And that yes. was that's was what they looked like. They looked like Al's, and I have yet to have the yellow and light blue explained to me by anyone. I will say this about the Red Sox. I mean, that 1-9 order, that's a strong order.
Yeah.
That's a very strong order. And I think that, you know, in the playoffs, you need three starters and two relievers. It becomes a five-man staff. You know, when you and I were growing up, you know, when the Red Sox would go north with nine men on their pitching staff, and now it's festival seating in the bullpen. It's festival.
That's back when Warren Spahn would pitch 13 innings of three hit ball and lose.
Right. And then the next day throw BP.
Yeah. Right. Sponsored by Sliver City, the lumberyard that's in a hurry. Question number 8. Give me a dark horse team that could sneak into the college football playoff. It's looking again like we're going to have Alabama and probably Clemson and probably Oklahoma and maybe Ohio State or maybe Oregon will sneak in, although I think they'll stub their toe. But is there somebody who's shown thus far they might be able to sneak past the favorites?
Absolutely not, because the system does not allow it. It is like the what's it like? Oh, it's like the bridge to Canada in Detroit. You know, it's really not going to Canada. You really not. It's just a bridge. It's like the set for a bridge to get. And every year I find myself, and you can go back to, you know, like rooting for Rutgers or you know, one of those teams like Utah. And I don't understand why they can't have one spot, you know, devoted to something that would get everybody kind of geeked up because, you know, take on the big boys. But it just doesn't happen. And they will, you know, manipulate it. So it's the same four teams that we always see. So no, I don't see it. I really don't see it. See it happening.
The Purdue family of sports, sponsored incidentally by My Pillow Case. Make any pillow your pillow with My Pillow Case. And finally, question number 9: give me a dark horse team to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady probably again way out in front with Tampa Bay. Couple other teams looking pretty good. Who do you think could climb out of the muck and mire and maybe actually make a run?
You know, I like what I've seen. I mean, David Carr's got to stay healthy, but I like what I've seen Oakland doing. I mean, I think that.
And I appreciate you still calling him Oakland regardless of the move.
Oh my.
No, I think it's I called them Oakland the entire 20 years they were in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Look, I'm still calling them Clay. So that's what we're dealing with here.
They're still the Boston Braves, as far as you're concerned.
That was my thing about Trump. Trump was a guy that in 1982 was still saying, are you going to the Clay fight? You know, he was but anyway, I think it's early. I don't think that Buffalo, I mean, you'd like Buffalo to get it together. I think that the AFC is the much stronger conference. Yeah. So I think it will be a team. I think it'll be a team from the AFC.
Tennessee could sneak in because Vrabel, first of all, may be able to construct the defensive scheme to box in Tom Brady. And secondly, pretty sure he brings brass knuckles to the game.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. He's very tough. And he was during his career. Did you ever look at him and say, that guy's going to be a good head coach. No, you just thought that guy's going to be at the rope saying, no, you're not on the list. You know, you want to look at the list? I'll show you. This is the list. That was going to be wasn't that going to be Mike Vrabel's future?
Absolutely.
By the way,
incidentally, by the Marianas trench coat featuring the deepest pockets in the business.
Wow. Yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
My guest today, the incredible Bill Schaft. You got to follow Bill on Twitter at Bill Schaft. Check out all kinds of fun stuff over at BillSchaft.com. If you're still one of those people who reads, this guy writes books that are worth reading. Go to BillSchaft.com and pick them, pick those babies up. I'm telling you, the guy knows how to make people.
I am sure I heard Marty Brenneman at some point say, if you're still one of those guys who reads, what a segue. Yeah.
Thank you a ton for coming on, Bill Schaft.
Oh, anytime. This is great. This is great.
Follow me on Twitter at Chet Waterhouse and my comedian buddy at Real Jeff Cesario. Jeff's album, What Was I Thinking? Streaming everywhere. The Play With Pain mugs. That's right. My mug on a mug. Available at JeffCesario.com. Thanks for listening. Love doing this for you guys. Tell your friends and spread the word because it's a blast. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be in Mildew Springs, Georgia, calling poisonous snake juggling for the Humidity Channel. Sponsored by Tingles, the potato chip that comes in a can shaped like a dildo. This is Chet Waterhouse, reminding you to play with pain.